You're listening to the Australian Hunting and Beyond podcast with Matt, where we talk about hunting, shooting, fishing, camping, and everything else that the great outdoors has to offer. Let's get into it. Hey guys, welcome to tonight's show. This one's been a long time in the making. The first state forest deer. It's been a journey. I've learned a lot along the way on this podcast, and best thing I ever done, I must say that. And just a big shout out to all the guests, all the people that have come on, all the support. You know, it's just, it's awesome. I've been so happy to be on this journey, and yeah, what can I say? I'm at a loss for words still. By the time this airs, I've got my second state forest deer as well. That's two from two in two different state forests. Couldn't be happier. Again, just a big shout out to all those people coming on the podcast and having those conversations, and I'm learning a lot. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm hoping our listeners out there, that you guys are learning something and putting it into play when you get out there, because I know I am, and it's really starting to pay off. So a big shout out to Sam as well, you know, and impromptu recording in camp, just having a bit of a yarn around the campfire and having him along. He's been a listener for a long time, and I appreciate him and coming on the show to talk about everything and also being there. It's been a really good one. So, mate, appreciate you and your friendship, and I can't wait to get back out there again, and hopefully we'll have you on the show very shortly. I know you just took your first buck, and I can't wait for the listeners to hear about that too. So I suppose on that note, let's get into it.
Well, we are live from Hunt Camp. It is, I think I hunt extremes, especially when we record these in Hunt Camp. The last time it was friggin' cold, and this time is the opposite. It is bloody hot. Sam, oh man, it's hot.
I think it's, sitting about 31 degrees right now.
In the shade.
Yeah, everything is definitely in bed. So we're just enjoying a little bit of slower time.
Yeah, a bit of downtime before we head out this afternoon, or probably more later evening, to try and see what's about. It's been good. We've seen some critters.
Yeah, a few about. A couple of nice days in the morning.
I thoroughly enjoyed our start to coming in. So we're in Maragal North, and on the way in, probably 100 metres from the entrance, this nice big fat porky decided to run straight out in front of us and just trotted off and took its sweet ass time as well. I was just sitting there going, it's always the way. If we'd had bumped it while we had the rifle or the bow, it didn't go very far very quickly. I think it would have been game over for it. But
yeah, no, he was taking his sweet time. He was definitely enjoying the slower parts of life, and somehow they just know, got watches or something, and in touch with the DPI, who knows.
Well, the one we found this afternoon was a bit more unlucky. It stunk, that's for sure. Someone obviously put one down and left it be, and interesting, it was quite decomposed. It was almost flat.
Yeah. No, but that's
It's a bit of time, but no critters had chewed on it, which shocked me a little bit.
Yeah, it's a funny one, that. He was definitely in pretty good shape, minus the face, I think, probably some couple tusks removed, perhaps. But yeah, he was definitely undisturbed, albeit quite smelly. Maybe that was why.
Yeah, it wasn't pleasant, that's for sure. But this morning was our first morning. We got some pretty good, I guess, eyes on multiple does, which was good. Sam's a bow hunter, so he's got it a lot harder than myself at the moment. I'm out here with the rifle. So we probably, 100 less?
Yeah, I think at the furthest was about 131 meters I ranged on the nearest tree, so definitely within striking distance.
Yeah, that doe you spotted that was walking behind the blackberry, I thought she might pop out on the next side and it would have been perfect, but just wasn't to be. Decided she'd melt away into the blackberry, as they always do.
Yeah, I think there's something magic about the blackberry. It's kind of crazy. They just all of a sudden you think they're going to pop out the other side and you're ready for it, and all of a sudden they disappear and that's it for them for the day. And yeah,
well, it's been an interesting hunt. It's found quite a few rub trees. You found a nice fresh scrape, I would probably say.
Yeah, I think there was a scrape. There was a nice snapped off piece of sort of a shoot of a eucalyptus that had been urinated on, and it's always a good sign that there's something servicing that in the area. It wasn't really too much disruption in that area apart from that, so I don't expect it to be too much of a one of the old fellas, but always good to have action.
And a bit of urine was hanging around as well.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I think for me, just being able to get back out here, see what has changed. Okay, so we've come to a couple of places I like to go to, and there's been a lot change in some of them. So that was a bit different, but I suppose the area that I wanted to target was where we saw all the does, which is a good sign leading up to the rut. I'm hoping that those does will stick around. I'll throw some trail cameras up, and then we'll see how that one goes, because I think we could be in a pretty decent spot at the moment, seeing so many does here. There seems to be a lack of bucks, which is good. That's not a bad thing, because the bucks will come in following those girls. So I'm hoping it's not a bad little spot for us come a bit closer to April.
It'll be interesting to see if it picks up and how much. And it's definitely noticeably drier this year than it has been, although there has been some rain about it. So you can sort of tell it's really starting to dry out. I expect next season. I know I keep saying that, next season, but next season's going to be a pretty dry one. So finding the water is going to be very important. But we found a little bit of standing water about, which is good.
Quite surprising, actually. I thought there'd be more water. Usually it holds it quite well around here, and there just wasn't. So I think that's the plan for tonight, is off such a hot day, we found a little bit of water, probably the biggest pool we've seen. And we're going to sit off that, and hopefully something might come in for a afternoon drink. But it's I think the heat, everything's just bedded down quite early. I think by the time we finished it, I think 9:30, 10, and we were sweating. It was hot. Like, it was probably, we were more exploring by the end of that stage. Needed to come home, rehydrate, and have a break before tracking a couple of creek lines. So that was pretty good. The horses were fun.
Yeah. It was interesting. I've never actually seen them properly wild or feral. But, yeah, it's geez, they stink.
Well, yeah, I've never seen them bedded down like they were. That was cool to find them bedded down and to watch. I think probably the mature mare, she was on guard and was the one that picked up on us sneaking in. And then the old mate Stallion came racing over. And so, very interesting. We were talking about how they run and then the Stallion comes back and then takes off again. So that was cool. And we've had that a couple of times now. But last night was the one for me. We were obviously camping in the forest and we were getting these noises and I could hear things running up and down. Now, I was pretty confident they were horses, but there was back and forth and they just seemed to be, I reckon one was a couple of Ks away. And it was almost like they were challenging each other. And then today when we upset the group, they made pretty much the exact same noise and sort of behavior. So I was like, there you go. That confirms what I was hearing last night that was running around, because it was a pretty active night in the bush last night here around camp.
It's really interesting. They blow like a white-tailed doe, and that's really cool. It's obviously sound, usually if you hear it, you don't want to be on the receiving end of it because it means that it's about to bugger off. But it's quite interesting, the parallels between the two species, and just a shame that we can't really look to reduce the numbers of the horses in this area, it's good meat, and it's amazing how much more of an impact they make compared to deer. Like deer, I mean, we talk about the impact that deer make, and pigs are obviously incredibly destructive, but horses, I mean, it just looks like a human track, and then they have the big areas that they trample, and it really is, they're quite destructive.
it was funny on the way down. I was saying, you won't believe how many horses are here. And what do you reckon we've seen in a day? Not even a full day yet, because we didn't get down here till late yesterday.
Maybe like 20.
Yeah, I'd be saying 20. And the sign, like, it's just horse shit everywhere. I don't think you can walk 20 meters without seeing some. And we've covered some ground today. I reckon we'd be pushing easy above 15 Ks.
Yeah.
And we've still got the Arvo Hunter to go out too. We're just taking it a bit easy, trying to cool down a little, let it sort of peak and start to cool down, and then we'll go out again. But yeah, very interesting for me is that how much horse sign around there is, and you can see just the damage they do everywhere, but the target is on the deer compared to the horse, which is pretty crazy when you see that tiny little hoof compared to the large one and go, hey, you're the one. But mate, speaking of whitetails, you have done some hunting abroad. We were talking about that bit before, and you were making parallels with what we're planning on doing, a bit of a sit and wait this afternoon, and you were making parallels with your time in Canada.
Yeah, it's very fortunate to be able to be stuck there during COVID. So got stuck in Ontario for a little bit, just north of Toronto there, and it's a big whitetail scene over there, which is pretty cool. So yeah, I got permission with a bit of a family inn on a very small block, and there's a scrape there and a little bit of fun rubs and stuff like that. So I was able to chuck in a tree stand and have a few sits. I didn't really have a lot of time to get into it, but it was very interesting. It was a very different style of hunting, obviously, to what we're used to, going through the bush, and obviously not being allowed tree stands in public land is definitely a big big difference, and I'd consider it definitely a disadvantage. Being up off the ground is something that really, really allows you. Of course, you can see a lot further. Your wind is slightly different, takes a little bit longer, and if you get the right wind, it will just go straight over things. But yeah, so that was a lot of fun, and funnily enough, I remember coming back from a deer hunt, very unsuccessful deer hunt. Unfortunately, I wasn't successful during that season, but we were driving home and saw a moose on the side of the road, and I was like, oh, that's crazy, like, there's a moose. And so we turn around and we come back, and just as we're pulling in, the police are pulling in at the same time. And so these police, they get out, and there's two blokes standing there just looking at it, and it was just, something just seemed off. It was just sort of about 50 meters off the side of the road. It was just sort of in the bush there, and during autumn, most of the leaves had fallen at this point. So it was pretty easy to see it, and just sort of stood there and looked a bit off, and then we realized it had been hit by a car or a truck or something. So talked to the cop, and he brought his rifle that he just had in the back there, and plugged it once, and then came up and plugged it behind the ear, and that was that. And so the two blokes, they turned to me and they're like, well, do you have any field dressing stuff? Because I've in my hunting gear. So so I went in the back, and I got my tiny little knife and stuff, and this is probably like a 2-year-old moose. So pretty sizable, probably the size of a horse. So yeah, we ratchet strapped the legs apart and gutted it, and they took it to the butcher, and about 3 weeks later they gave me a massive plastic bag full of cut up meat and pepperettes and sausages and all that sort of fun stuff. And
yeah, good.
Yeah, so it was funny. Went for a deer hunt and came back with moose and
free moose meat.
Yeah, so I would consider myself one of the people that's had the least success in hunting, that's eaten the most different types of wild game meats, because we've also had black bear over on Vancouver Island that our housemate generously cooked up into a meat pie and served to us, which was really cool. And then I had a neighbour that cooked up some, he gave me some mince, some whitetail mince. So that was an old buck that his dad had shot, and he minced it up and he gave me a little bit, so I made that into a bolognese, which was good.
That cools that.
But yeah, still haven't shot any of them.
Look, props are to you, because I look at it and go, man, you've started with the bow, and that's so difficult. You saw what happened today. I wasn't even able to get one with the rifle at 120 or whatever, and they were – I don't think we bumped them. They were sort of – or just doing their thing, or just moved off, and we just couldn't see where they went. And so I thought we've done pretty good in stalking today. Probably the better – I think I've moved the slowest – I've moved in a long time, and I found that's good. The only issue at the moment, it's like walking on bloody cornflakes.
Yeah. I mean, apart from early this morning, it really does dry up very quickly. It's not good. It's definitely tough going. In the end, we sort of need to find some clearings, and we're finding ourselves having to just stop and just wait for things to cool down a little bit and then go for a little bit more and then step on a massive stick and do it all again. Very frustrating.
Yeah, it's a bit painful, but it's part of hunting in, I guess, the warmer months with it here. But look, I'm not totally against it. It's hot, so I think you've got less time out there. But walking down the creek lines was good, but realistically, we've only bumped kangaroos down those creek lines. So found some good spots. Went through a bit more of a nice yellowtail block cockatoo flying past in the background there. Yeah, sorry, we're just a nice sort of exploratory sort of walk, trying to find out where things might be coming up to the rut. That's why I'm sort of pumped up for down here. And it's looking all right. The other thing is I wanted to test the new camper trailer, so which I've sort of stolen. And my wife's not happy about this because it was bought as the family sort of camper trailer. And I've sort of now just taken it over as the hunting sort of trailer. But it has worked out absolutely perfectly. So quick and easy to set up. Up off the ground in the rooftop tent. Nice and comfy. Yeah, I'm sitting here going, geez, I'm glad I've bought this family trailer that now I've just taken over.
It's a nice setup, mate. I'll tell you what, I was slumming it on the ground there in my tent before and looking up at you, and I was like, geez, he's sitting up there in his palace. I'm sure he's probably got all sorts of home comforts in there, and pops up in 2 seconds, which is always good in that tent. And the built-in cooking station, that's a dream. Cooking my breakfast on that this morning was fantastic.
It is very good. So basically I've got a toolbox that you can pop open with a lock, and it then has the King's fridge slide that pulls out, and you've got your two O-rings and a sink. So, and then I've got a big water tank on there as well. And how good is just getting out to the bush? Like, side note here, I'm just sitting here watching these two yellowtail black cockatoos just playing around, probably 150 meters from me at best. They're just chilling, flying around, exploring. Man, it's cool watching stuff like that. It's not so relaxing. But yeah, sorry, the tent. The cookware, just, geez, it makes life easy, doesn't it? It's all plumbed up. So you just turn the bottle on and put the connection point in. It's a quick connect gas point and bang, happy days. It's good to go and real quick and easy to cook. Took 2 seconds to set up. The tracks were a bit ordinary on the way in. A lot of ruts, tire ruts and whatnot. So I was pretty happy with the clearance on the trailer is very good. So it comfortably dealt with what was thrown at it, which was nice. And then it's worked really well. We've got plenty of water from the water tanks on either side to wash hands or wash up. And win from you was your coffee trick. So I can't, or I stole it, but I can't take credit. We were talking about the trip, and this is our second sort of trip. The first one fell apart because there was illness with my children and myself. I think it was the kid, because the day we booked in, my kid was sick and I couldn't go to daycare and my wife couldn't mind them. So I was done. So this has been a long time coming to get out together. And we were talking about it, and I was talking about coffee and the dog and gun. And I haven't tried dog and gun yet. But you were then saying, and I was saying it's a bit of a hard stretch because I really like the coffee that I currently use. And to the point where, you know, my wife and I really don't buy coffees out anymore. We'll do our best to avoid it. We'll take our own sort of thing. And I didn't even think about it, but the little filters that you attach to the cup, you can buy them in bulk. So you said, why don't you do that? That's what I do, and pre-pack it. And you go a step further than me, though. You pre-load it and then vac seal it and good to go. I just grab the, what do you call it? I grab my pods and just chop them up here and tip them in. bit rougher.
It works so well. Those things are so cheap. And I bought like 100 of them or something. And yeah, just I think it's a couple of teaspoons or something like that. And off you go. Takes 2 seconds, especially with the jet boil there. Heating it all up. I've got coffee in 5 minutes, which is pretty good out in the bush. Pretty decent coffee as well. So yeah, it's a very handy trick. Definitely something I'll be taking on to future hunts, camps.
Yeah, it was good. I did mine for the first time this morning and went, hey, this is a win. I think I will probably take your advice or a leaf out of your book, I should say, and preload them and vac seal. So they're just sitting there. And I think my wife and I drink different coffees. So we'll probably do that. But I think I might even go a step further and measure the water, because so it's exactly like the coffee I have at home.
Mm.
So I noticed that today. It felt like there was a little bit more water than what my machine pumps out. So I just run the Nespresso.
Yeah.
Virtuo Plus. Love it. So good. But the double shots, the way I go, and I sort of noticed that this morning. It was like, I think there's too much water I've used, but might measure that out a bit next time to make it a bit more like what I have at home.
Yeah, I think it's definitely more of a drip style coffee. You know, I usually use like 3 or 4 sort of bags full of the stuff. And it's interesting. I think if you let it steep a little bit, a bit more espresso style, make it a little bit stronger. But yeah, it just works so well. And I always am nostalgic for my drip coffee, talking about my time in Canada. That was something I was absolutely crushing in the tree stand. It's like -7 degrees in the morning and all rugged up. It's always a good treat.
Well, you said you actually stopped us on the way. We had to stop in the town to get you some half and half, is what you were calling it.
Yeah, I think just getting regular cream is probably the only option in Australia, unfortunately. But yeah, the old half and half, definitely the perfect coffee additive. Bit of extra cream in there, gets you going for longer.
Oh, well, it's been a long time coming, and it's good to get back out in the bush. This is the first trip this year to pull up the camp and have a crack, and so far it has been a cracker. We've had some pretty cool experiences, saw a lot, emu, dead stuff, plenty of horses, bedded horses, pig, dead pig. What else am I missing? Heap of sign.
Just horse poo everywhere.
I saw more about the deer sign.
But yeah, that's all I can think of, honestly. There's a little bit of sign around. You can definitely use more footprints than anything. So they're just sort of yet to, I think, lay down a little bit more substantial scrape. So this is more of a travel point, more of a waypoint. Yeah, it's...
I think it's a tad early for scrapes, or they're just starting to form.
Yeah.
I guess. So I'd like to see this place in, you know, another couple of weeks. I think it'll be a tad bit better, especially, fingers crossed, we know where the does are at the moment. So hopefully the boys will come in, and I'd like to see what happens in a couple of weeks here around those does.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they hold in, which they should. But yeah, who joins them? Who joins the party? Because it's about to be a hell of a party in here. You had a pretty good rut party last year, didn't you, Matt, down in this area?
Yeah, he was good. Not where we're currently at. I've changed sort of areas a little bit. But yeah, no, we had a good time. Multiple croaking bucks. We're pretty late, though, in fairness. I think that was one of our issues. I think that was probably a couple of days earlier, we would have been probably amongst it a bit more. But we sort of only got to chase them on the last morning was sort of it. There wasn't much going on. After that, it was sort of stopped. The only thing I don't like about the forest is there's no pine. I'd like there to be a little bit of pine in here. It's just pure native. Well, everywhere we've been.
It's interesting that you can't hunt the power lines. I think that's definitely a significant disadvantage of having that there. I can see why, but it's definitely interesting. That's something I would have used as a nice natural sort of barrier, having not had the pines.
I think, for safety, and I'm guessing that the people that work on the power lines, they're not associated with forestry. So I'm saying that's probably why.
Mm.
Is it forestry closed for when they're doing their operations, but they wouldn't know when people are checking the power lines? And the power lines are probably checked a fair bit more often and regularly. The other good thing at the moment, the blackberries are out.
Yeah, those are so good. That was definitely fueling me on the morning's hunt, having just had a half a cup of black coffee for breakfast. It's interesting, just on the regulations before, just talking about the sort of stipulations between first light and actively hunting. And I suggested that maybe that we should change it to be you can't shoot before first light, which I think makes a little bit more sense. But then I wonder what was the reason behind it? What was the reason behind the first light thing? Apart from, of course, safety. I can't imagine there's any fair chase aspect to it. being pest animals.
Yeah, so I was talking to Sam and saying for, I was chatting to a couple of other blokes and they were saying that if you're heading into an area under light, heading into your hunting spot, that technically that's considered hunting. So if you're doing that before 30 minutes before sunrise, then you are potentially hunting and it's a very grey area. Now, again, I'd love to have a chat with someone from DPI to have that confirmed or not. But yeah, it's super interesting as opposed to, I guess, like, I mean, there's quite a few things that I sometimes think about and go, okay, well, using a thermal, you're allowed to use them now in forests, but, you know, potentially we were here last night, busting it out and having a look around while everything's locked up, the gun's locked up, you know, is that considered illegal? I would say it would be, so we didn't do it. Other side is, well, are you hunting? What if you were just in here as a general public person with a thermal and you didn't have anything to do with hunting? And I was like, well, that's, yeah, I don't think you'd get in trouble for that, but because you are a hunter, I think if you were in here with a thermal, you could consider that as scouting and that's potential hunting. So
there needs to be some clarification, I think, with this sort of new technology, at least in some respect of what is and what isn't actively hunting. And can you make sure that you're, or assure yourself and whoever's regulating that you're not actively hunting by perhaps locking away your firearm, making sure it's completely locked away, and then taking the thermal out if you do want to do some scouting. Just like you're allowed to come into the forest and scout around, you're not allowed to have your firearm, but you can at least come and scout around, you know, when somebody else has it booked and when you don't have it booked. It's obviously evolving, it's still quite a new thing, obviously being since early 2000s, have only really been figuring this out. But it's interesting. There's a lot to be slowly figured out, but definitely I think having a chat to some local DPI officers would help clear the air and see what they would, you know, pull you up on and what their understanding and interpretation of it is, obviously.
Yeah, for me, it's an interesting one. I'm not sure whether, I'm pretty confident that it's a no with the thermal, because it states that you can only use it during hunting hours. So even travelling, I don't believe you're allowed to use them. You've got to use your headlamp. Like even getting out of the bush at the night, you couldn't use the thermal to navigate. I'm pretty confident that's the rules when I read up on it last, and that was a while ago because I just haven't bothered to use it in here. I just can't see the point in risking it. And for me, what's the difference if you had someone driving up and down the roads of a night to see where deer were? Or early morning in the dark to find out where the deer were moving through, and that's how they work out areas they're going to hunt. And I do know a couple of blokes like that. So that sort of looks at, like, you know, that they're potentially, they're just driving a road. It's not illegal. You're allowed to do it. Hell, on the way in here, you know, there's a high risk of horses and deer sign for us to as we get onto Elliott Way. So, yeah, I don't know. Where do you, you know, how much different is using a thermal at camp when you're not shooting than someone driving roads to see where they're moving about? I don't think there's much difference at all. You know, I could understand if you were like in the bush right through, because then it becomes a bit different to driving a road. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I stand on that one. I think that I'm probably erring on the side that you can't use it personally, and hence why I haven't, I guess, as well, because A, I don't think it's legal, but B, I wouldn't want to do it anyway because it sort of takes a bit of the fair chase away.
What do you reckon on drones for hunting? A lot of people will use them for filming, and I know there's definitely people that use them for scouting, and in particular, I've seen people use them for recovery, which I think is definitely a smart idea. Where do you sit on that?
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. I think at some stage, the conversation around having deer on the landscape and keeping them to us, you know, a sustainable number, they're pretty switched on creatures. I think if hunters get a little bit of an advantage here or there, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. And I think when I was chatting to Eric on a previous episode, I think he was saying 95% of deer are shot by 5% of hunters. So if you had that 95% of hunters that are not getting many, if they up the game to be able to get some, I mean, that's not a bad thing in my mind. And, you know, potentially we're not talking about poison and trapping and all these other things that are coming out at the moment. So, yeah, for me, I think it's probably not a bad option. And then you think about where we were today. We found some really good glassing spots of different gullies and the like. And for me, I sit there and go, well, geez, it was noisy getting in there. How good would it be if you could send something over the top and have a quick look and go, you know what, that's actually a good spot for me to sneak into to give yourself the best, I guess, opportunity to see deer in a spot where you could harvest them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's obviously a sliding scale of in terms of acquirement of our quarry being deer. You know, you can hunt them with a trad bow, barefoot, naked, or you could go for the drone and have a long rifle and stuff like that and make it tough for yourself or easier for yourself. And, you know, I think people should have that option if they want to take it. It's not exactly like fair chase is an issue here, especially if they are struggling with the numbers as much as the media says we are. I think every advantage should be afforded to the hunter, including suppression, obviously drones and all sorts of other stuff that we should be able to do. Still aren't, unfortunately. Even little things like tree stands.
I saw a DPI one, and I know a couple of mates and I were talking about this because they brought up about like you could hunt from blinds from DPI. It was on their Facebook page.
Yeah.
So I didn't think you were allowed personally. So maybe you are. And then for me, that raised a question of, well, if you're allowed to hunt in a blind, that sort of takes away the blaze orange. Yeah, I was sort of a little bit confused about, we've got to wear blaze orange, which I'm all for, don't get me wrong. I'm all for that, all for safety, you know, no deer's worth your life. But then I sit there and go, hold on, if you're allowed to have a camo blind and you're sitting in the camo blind, people aren't going to see you through that, are they? Well, not, they're not going to see your blaze orange through that, are they?
Yeah, it's a funny one. I remember we were hunting on public land in Ontario one time and just walking through and they've got a blaze orange lure. I think it's like 18 square inches, whatever that is. It's a fair chunk. Could be slightly less than that. But anyway, regardless, it's a fair chunk. And we walked in and there was two different blinds that we just completely stumbled upon that just had nothing set up. Now, when I set up even on the ground, I used to, if I was in a firearms area, I would just put a little piece of orange tape and just put that on some twigs above me and just make sure that was at least noted. I've seen people do that, but it's a very interesting thing that you got to wear blaze orange unless you're behind a very thin barrier, which is definitely not going to stop a bullet, obviously. So it's can
or definitely, an arrow.
Yeah, or an arrow or anything. It can definitely sort of be some issues there, but it's a funny one.
Oh, well, look, I think it's getting starting to cool down a little bit, I think. Maybe, not really, but we need to probably start thinking about getting ready for getting out there this afternoon. So we'll probably pause it there or end it there. We're not sure yet. And we'll hopefully get amongst it tonight and tomorrow and see how we go. But, mate, it's been good to come out hunting and finally, and we'll, hopefully our luck will improve. Not that it's been a bad luck trip so far. It's been pretty bloody good, so hopefully we'll be able to get something on the deck though. That'd be nice.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Even if we finish up with some bunnies, I've got a good idea of a nice recipe you can make with some bunnies and some blackberries. But yeah, even then, hopefully we get lucky tonight. It's definitely, you can feel that breeze coming through now. It's just a little bit more chilly, so hopefully they start rustling about in their beds and hopefully see some movement.
Cool. All right, guys, talk to you soon. Oh damn, I don't know how I feel. We've done our afternoon hunt. mixed emotions at the moment. Firstly, I've got my first state forest deer, and I'm absolutely stoked about that. That was really cool. It's cool to have Sam here with me too. Let's probably talk about that, I suppose. Let's start with that.
Yeah. I'm still processing it, honestly. Like, it literally just happened. It's only 7 minutes to nine and obviously stopped hunting around 8:15. So, that shot was probably what, 7:55, you think?
Yeah, it was before
it was
eight.
It was very late.
It's about 10 minutes, 5:10 after sunset. So well within legal hunting time.
But, I thought it was interesting, I guess, the rush to be able to find it in time to get a follow-up shot within legal light. You know, typically you'd be able to wait off and sort of hold off and see what happens, but we sort of had to rush right over there. And
well, let's take it back a step. So we had our plan this afternoon. So about 5:30, I think we made our way over. I think actually might have been a bit earlier, but anyway, it was around then. We had a nice creek that we wanted to overlook, and we sat there for a good hour and a half and sort of had a spanner thrown in the works with horses hanging around the water source. And then we decided that we'd go for a walk up the water, like probably about 20 to 8, I reckon it was, maybe a bit earlier, maybe 7:30. And as we were creeping up, we got about 30 meters and I spotted a deer behind the horses. And I was annoyed because I thought it was a buck, but I couldn't get a shot on because the horse was in the way. Even though it was probably a good sort of 40 meters past the horse was in the way, so there was no shot on, which sucked. So we kept creeping along and got some pretty cool footage with the horses. What do you reckon we crept into? They were 20 meters?
Oh, yeah, easy so 20. Maybe. We were very close.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And they then took off, obviously. And then we started making our way up through the creek bed as well, and it was pretty thick, and we bumped the deer and they took off, two of them up the hill. I don't think they knew what we were. They just spooked, so they shot, and they probably went maybe 60 meters up the creek and then went up a bit and then turned and came back and had a bit of a, tried to work out what was going on. And at that stage, I had a front-on shot, full body, and I was freestanding at 100 meters and put it straight into her. And she ran 20 meters and dropped, but you originally said I missed, which is cool. I wasn't 100% sure. I felt pretty confident in the shot. I've been practicing sort of holding and using the weight so I'm not shaking and whatnot as much, and practicing breathing and whatnot. So I was pretty confident to take that shot now. I haven't in the past, and obviously been trying to rectify that. So I was pretty pleased with that. And it all happened very quick, like I reckon 5 seconds. They were off, turned, and bang, trigger was pulled.
Yeah, that all happened very quickly. It was definitely a pretty awesome shot. Like, she really, really didn't go very far. I thought it was funny she gave you a little bit of a bark right before. Right as she turned, she just turned around, quick bark, and then that was it, game over.
Yeah, well, she went 20 and went down. So very happy with that. Always when I'm pulling a trigger, I'm very mindful. I don't want anything to suffer. So I was super happy with that. That's both deer now that I've taken dropped within 20 meters. So very, very happy with that. And again, the ticker, T3X stainless light, which has been Cerakoted a nice burnt bronze and has the camo stock. It is one of my favorite guns. And the Winchester Deer Season 95 grainers they're good. Really happy with them. Definitely does a job. Yeah, so we rushed up. You found her.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
You found her very quick. You found the blood and then, sorry, no, I think you found the blood and then I spotted her.
Yeah, and she was just...
just down.
It's funny, you're always looking at the ground and then all of a sudden they just appear in front of you.
Yeah, yeah. And
blood was good.
Blood was good. There was a lot of it too. And when I saw that, I was pretty confident that I'd got her pretty well. And then, yeah, when we got up there, just elated. So, been a lot of hard work trying to get my first state forest deer. So, it was a relief to go, finally. It's, it takes a toll, and I sometimes feel a bit guilty being away from the wife and kids, and she's got to deal with the three little ones and whatnot. So I'm very grateful and thankful for her. She's a champion, and having that deer, and I was like, yes, the meat. And beforehand we spoke about that, and I said we'd go halves in anything we got if we got something, and we shot. Obviously, I got that doe, and that's where the mixed feelings come in. I don't know what to say.
We're just, for context, we're just sitting here looking at this campfire with the stars above us, just feeling incredibly philosophical about the whole thing. Unfortunately, when Matt started gutting her, Well, Matt, tell us what happened.
Well, I turned her over and started gutting her and got into the, obviously, cavity and cut through the membrane and started to pull everything out and pop them out, you know, the guts and whatnot. And you were the one who said, whoa, was that liver supposed to have all those white spots on it? And I was like, what? That's, no, livers shouldn't. And on closer inspection, it was definitely like white, hard abscess sort of right through her liver. There was quite a few. And that wasn't great. As soon as I saw that, I was like, well, going back to the meat harvesting course that I did with TAFE and all that, and the saying, when in doubt, throw it out, and that the liver should look clean and nothing going on. So that was a big one for me that, yes, man, just deflating. Like, mixed emotion. I've done a lot of hard work to try and, you know, chase deer, and we've had a big day chasing deer today. And then to get one, and the payoff I'm chasing isn't the first state forest deer, it's the meat. And we had venison for dinner. I brought some of my roosa along, which I, you know, cooked up. And
which was so good.
It was good. It was
unbelievable.
Good. And then far out, man. That's, it's pretty crazy. I don't know how to feel, to be honest. I think I'm more gutted than happy, which sucks. But, that's hunting. At the end of the day, you don't know what – she looked healthy, but on the inside, she definitely didn't look healthy from that. So, I mean, is it worth chancing it? In my opinion, probably not. So, I decided not to, and, that's such a shame.
It really was a lot of mixed emotions at that point.
I think the walk back was the one for me. I don't think
we were just in silence.
It was pretty much in silence from both of us. Or I think there was a couple of swear words from me as I was walking back. I just can't believe it. I think we had a quick conversation. Like, I thought we'd be taking meat back, man. It's just so frustrating. Really, I'm frustrated more than anything. Like, to get my first state forest deer and then not be able to take the meat.
Yeah, we were definitely grinding today as well.
It was a tough day.
Felt like finally it had all come together. We had a plan. Plan didn't quite work because the horses threw a spanner in the works, and then we adjusted and got a fair good look, honestly, like for a rifle. It's definitely not an easy shot offhand, obviously, but it was a nice and open, and she was quartering away, or she was face on.
Face on when I took the shot. She came back. She went side on and then came back at me to try and see what we were. She had no idea. And then, actually, funny bit, I guess it's the shot. That's the exact same way I shot the roosa. So the roosa turned and faced me and bang, same deal. So pretty insane. Sort of like full circle. One private, one state forest. But hey, I mean, that's now a roosa and a fallow.
Yeah, you can start crossing them off.
I think the best thing about the podcast is, I'm really starting to learn from the guests and good people, and I really appreciate, you know, everyone that comes on and their time and effort, and it's obviously fantastic, and I'm starting to reap the benefits, I suppose, even though this time I'm not going to be able to take away the meat. I at least got my first state forest deer, so that's a win within itself, I suppose, and, you know, I'm trying to be positive because I'm really disappointed about the meat. It's like, I'm not going to lie, but... it's a start, and hopefully the next state forest deer will be nice and clean and no issues with their liver, and yeah
hopefully tomorrow morning.
Well, I think it's your turn.
we gotta get close enough.
Well, that's the only other thing. If we don't get close enough because you are with the bow, then it might be my turn again. But one more day, and yeah, I'm glad you were there, man. It was good to have you there and be able to talk things through and spot things, and it's been good. I've really thoroughly enjoyed it. It was something I never really did before, is hunt with people. So it was one of my things starting to change that up a bit, and yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. So, mate, appreciate you coming out and being good company, and I've had a blast so far, and yeah.
It's been good fun. It's definitely good to have two sets of eyes as well. When you're sitting there glassing and sitting off a nice spot like we were able to spot whatever was coming around pretty quickly, and yeah, tomorrow morning, sitting off that clearing. Hopefully we can have some success, which should be good.
Fingers crossed, and hopefully we'll have another podcast for you with some success. But all right, guys, I'm going to keep looking at this fire in the sky and reminisce and try and be a bit happier. Unfortunately, it's definitely a roller coaster evening. So the deer gods have got me again. They love to get me. I thought after it was hidden behind the horse, one of those deer, I was like, far out. Our plan was good, but the horse has thrown a spanner. The deer gods are at it again. And then when I got the doe, I was just like, yes, finally. And to cut it open and go, the deer gods have screwed me over again. I must have done something to them in a previous life. Oh, well.
Yeah, I couldn't have anticipated what that would happen, honestly. It was like, you know what, if we don't get a deer, fine. But if we do, that's great, get the meat. But to have the deer and no meat just feels incredibly strange. Just, yeah, lots of process.
Yep, indeed.
Well, there you have it, guys. Yeah, man, so lucky to be able to record with Sam, do it live, pretty raw, just how I was feeling and reflecting on now. Really happy that I was able to get that. Definitely glad I made the right decision about leaving the meat there after speaking to some of the people that I've met throughout the podcast that are very, very good hunters and very well versed in their craft. And, you know, the majority of the advice was that, yeah, leave the meat. So I'm glad I did that. By the time this airs, I've already been out and got a second deer in a second state forest, a different one. And the first time I've been into that state forest, which is fantastic as well. So that'll be another podcast. But I really wanted to just fill in because we had some pretty interesting turn of events on the last day of hunting. After obviously not harvesting the meat and being pretty devastated, we had the plan to go and look at a clearing, and it's pretty cool. We got there, hadn't even got to the clearing we wanted to, and there was a little bit of an opening coming up, and we bumped a doe and she took off. Not super far, to be honest, but on the other side of the blackberry, which was probably only maybe 30 meters away, 40 meters away, there was another two does that were bedded down, and we sat there for a little bit, just waited. This time I had the tripod, so I was like, this is perfect. I hadn't had it set up as the tripod, so it was still being sort of used as a monopod with the legs strapped together. Got everything set on cue almost. The deer stood up broadside at probably 40 meters at best. I put the crosshairs directly onto the kill zone, got my breathing under control, felt really good about the shot, and I took the shot. Unfortunately, the ammo was a dud after I'd just gone through and talked up the Winchester XP 95 grainers, and it was a misfire. So I instantly dropped down to the ground, went through my clearing protocols, got that all sorted, got another round back in the chamber, got back up. By this stage, they'd moved on. They hadn't moved on a heap, so they were still within that 100 meters, to be honest. Again, you know, just looking at me broadside. And then Sam yelled out, one took off, about to move, and the other one, he goes, is about to follow. And I guess with all the adrenaline and everything going, tried my best to get the breathing under control and take that second shot. But unfortunately, I missed high. And, you know, that happens. You know, I was a bit rattled from the misfire. I couldn't believe it happened, actually. So here's what it is. That's part of hunting, and a bit disappointing that we probably could have had some meat on that trip home. But hey, either way, that's what hunting's all about. They're all stories. They're all memories. I had an absolute blast out there with Sam. And as I said before, appreciate that. Appreciate his time coming on the podcast as well. And can't wait to get back out there. So yeah, it was a great trip. Couple of cool stories and a couple of cool things that happened, but all part of the journey. And yeah, hope you guys have found the story interesting, and I had a great time. So appreciate you guys listening, and bye for now. If you have a topic, guest, question, or any gear that you want to hear about on the podcast, shoot us an email, australianhuntingandbeyond@gmail.com. Alternatively, find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All the links are in the show notes. If you haven't already, make sure you give us a review and subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you're listening on. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.